Greetings there, my friends. Welcome to another episode of How to Get Away with Law, an unofficial podcast for the hit ABC show How to Get Away with Murder. Today we are talking about Season 2, Episode 4, which is called Skanks Get Shanked. And we are going to start out with an episode recap, and because I do this podcast alone and there's nobody to bounce anything off, I've decided since ABC is getting stingy with their tiny, tiny recaps that are only a few sentences, I would go around the web and check out somebody else's recap that they generously applied on a website and read there. And just to let you know, these are not my original thoughts. This recap comes from somebody else, and I will give them credit. Just letting you know in advance, this is not my recap. I just do this because there is nobody to bounce off of. So the recap for this week is from CelebDirtyLaundry.com, and this was written by Amanda Austin. So thank you, Amanda Austin, and CelebDirtyLaundry.com. I just thought the website sounded funny. Of course, I'm going to read that recap, and here we go, guys. I hope you're ready. I have not read this recap in advance, so it's an experience for both you and me. Yay! Tonight's episode of How to Get Away with Murder kicks off with paramedics loading Annalise into the ambulance. Bonnie is dead. Nate picks the law students up in the woods and rushes them away from the scene of the crime in his cop car. Michaela's phone rings. Nate tells her to answer the phone and act normal. Back to present day. Annalise is taking a bath and her phone rings. It's Nia Leahy, Nate's wife. She summons Annalise to her hospital room. She informs Annalise that she wants Annalise to take care of Nate and love him, and help her commit suicide. Annalise is obviously thrown for a loop. She heads back to her office, where her next case is waiting for her. Annalise meets a teen girl named Zoe, who killed her best friend. Zoe argues that two other girls, Megan and Molly, brainwashed her into killing Rachel. They peer pressured her and roped her into a revenge plot over a boy. Molly and Megan are arguing that Zoe is a sociopath and she is the ringleader, and she convinced them to stab Rachel. After court, Annalise tells her students to go through the doctor that is about to take the stand's old cases and try to find a mistake he made in the past that they can use against him. Annalise has a special job for Michaela. She sends her to Caleb and Catherine's house to prep them for the trial. Annalise tells her to trick them and find out if the brother and sister are screwing each other. She needs to know the truth before they go to court so that it doesn't come back to bite them. Asher is MIA. He is meeting with the district attorney for some secret deal. He lied and told everyone he is sick at home. Laurel and Connor come through. They find a case where the doctor misdiagnosed a teen boy and he wound up killing his whole family. Annalise uses this info in court and seems to make some headway with the judge. After court, Connor finds Zoe sitting outside and crying. Apparently, the two girls are still bullying her. They called her a slut in the courtroom. Connor tries to give her a pep talk. She argues with him that he doesn't know anything. Wes sneaks off to visit Nate at the police station. He demands to know what he found out about Rebecca. Nate says that the night that Rebecca disappeared, Frank made 3 phone calls to someone named Sabrina Mancini. Laurel thinks that Zoe is a sociopath, so she steals her cell phone while she is in court to hack into it. They find a video of Zoe and her friends laughing about stabbing Rachel. In the video, they are lying on the floor and pretending to cry the same way Rachel did when they killed her. In the video, Zoe laughs that she should kill their teacher next and carve an X into her with a knife. I'm pretty sure it was a C. But anyway, back to the recap. Laurel takes the video to Annalise, and she is obviously shocked. Zoe played all of them. She is a cold-blooded killer and total whack job. Annalise shows the video to Zoe's parents. They tell her to destroy the video. Annalise tells Laurel and Connor that they are deleting the video. Connor is furious. He can't believe that they are going to get a killer off from a murder charge. He thinks that Zoe is dangerous and she is going to kill again. They head to court and Annalise is blindsided when the video is shown in court. Apparently one of Zoe's friends had a copy of the video. After court, Zoe's mom freaks out on Annalise. She tells her to fix it ASAP. The next day, Annalise dissects the video. She points out to the jury that in the video, Zoe is just copying everything that Megan says. Annalise is winning the case, and then Zoe cracks and starts screaming in the middle of court that Megan is just a basic bitch and she is going to kill her next. After court, Annalise corners Connor. She knows that he slipped the video to the defense. Connor confesses that he leaked the video, but he did it because he didn't want any more blood on his hands. Annalise reveals that she and Frank still have his car with her husband's blood in it. She tells him that if he ever messes with her cases again, they'll put the murder on him. Michaela comes through for Annalise with Catherine and Caleb. After hours of questioning them, she learns that Catherine is actually a virgin. They go to the hospital to get a doctor to examine her and confirm she is a virgin. That way, they can destroy the defense's argument that the siblings are incest. Meanwhile, Wes gets a break. He and Rebecca's brother learn that the reason Frank was blowing up Sabrina's phone that night that Rebecca was murdered is because her brother works at a cemetery. They think that is where Frank ditched Rebecca's body. Tonight's episode ends with Annalise heading back to the hospital to visit Nate's wife, Mia. She brings a long bottle of pills that she got from Frank. Annalise had a change of heart. She tells Mia that she thought about it a lot and she doesn't think it is right and she is not going to help her. Mia snarks that she killed Sam and didn't have a problem with it. Annalise tells her that she is not the woman she thinks she is, and then she leaves. Annalise walks out of the hospital and she spots Nate and Wes having a secret meeting in the parking lot. Now she knows that they are working together. The end. Okay, I just have to say one thing about the recap at the beginning. Something about Bonnie is dead. Did somebody see something that I missed? I watched that thing like 3 times and did I miss that? Huh. Weird. Maybe I need to go back and watch that. That would confirm my theory from I think like episode 1 or 2 that I said maybe Bonnie's body would be the third one in the room. I don't know. But anyway, maybe you guys can let me know that. If I missed that detail, and you can tell me how to get away with law at gmail.com or hit me up on Twitter, which is at getawaywithlaw, or find the Facebook group and you can just search out the group how to get away with law. Let me know if I missed a detail. Okay, time to get into my comments. Now the opening scene with the flash forward, we already know Annalise/Viola Davis is obviously not going to die. Come on, you would kill off that big of a character, really. The only concern we have is, who in the hell put our girl in the hospital? That's what I'm trying to find out, and maybe we're getting closer by the end of this episode. But we'll see as I continue with my comments. The audience nor anyone in Nate's car believes that Michaela can convincingly answer a phone without communicating that something is definitely wrong. Girl can't lie to save her life, but whatever. We'll get to that much later in the episode, around the end. Anyway, out of the flash forward 4 weeks earlier, I just need to know, guys, especially if you guys do this, why do people lay in the bottom of the bathtub? I mean, hanging out with their own germs. I mean, you people be nasty. That is gross. I don't want to chill in there with the germs. I want to get in there, wash the germs off in the dirt as soon as possible, get out. And I especially just don't want to chill there and look like I'm drowning myself. That's just gross. I also hope that the wife of your lover, who was dying of cancer, doesn't call you to ask for you to murder her either. Both the germs and the murdering, those aren't pleasant, people. No murdering, no chilling in your germs in the bottom of a bathtub. This new case, the Zoe kid, I wasn't buying her story. She has that little innocent face, but something about her eyes told me that chick is not innocent. They stabbed this girl, this friend Rachel, 52 times. I mean, was she not dead enough by stab number 20 or 30, maybe even 40? Maybe they stabbed her incorrectly the first 51 times, but you'd think she would have bled out by then. But I don't know how many times you gotta stab a human being before they are dead. I've never done it. Just like I would not soak at the bottom of a bathtub in all my germs. Ew. Now, here we go with Connor cracking a little bit. Always the one to question whether it's good or not. I mean, it's taken this long for him to think about quitting, helping Annalise, and working for this firm. I mean, this might be like the mob that, you know, if you try to escape, they might kill you. But this mob is protecting them since they are connected to a murder and the disappearance of a former client. Okay, well, eventually, since no one seems to know or care that Rebecca is gone. Once again, me, I am sad that Rebecca's gone because I love Katie Finley. Thank you. And a side note, we find out in this episode that, oh my goodness, Michaela has boobs. And wouldn't you think, finally, she also has an orgasm. Oh my goodness. But another side note, I definitely noticed that Michaela had boobs. Why? Because I like boobs. I need to know if Tiffany was murdered by Asher. Or perhaps she died at Trotter Lake, and somehow it was Asher's fault, or he was at fault for not saving her. We really need to know what this case is. They're dragging this out a little too long, don't you think? We need to find out these details and how this DA is able to drag this over him, and that the father had to get involved in this. We need to find those details out. One of the best lines of this episode comes when Michaela has to say, "Spank me, Daddy." I mean, that's how you use your boobs to crack a possible incestuous case, right? Spank me, Daddy. Here are my boobies. Okay, we don't have a law term this time around. I know I didn't have one last time, but we do have a drug term because I wanted to check out what this drug was that Nia wanted, and at least to use to kill her. And if I heard it right, it sounded like she called it psychobarbital. And we're going to go into finding out what that is. Well, I guess the brand name is Secanol Sodium. And it's psychobarbital is in a group of drugs called barbiturates. Psychobarbital slows the activity of your brain and nervous system. Psychobarbital is used to short-term to treat insomnia or as a sedative before surgery. Psychobarbital must also be used for other purposes not listed in this medication guide. And the most important information about psychobarbital is it may cause a severe allergic reaction, and you should stop taking psychobarbital and get emergency medical help if you have any of these following allergic reactions: hives, difficulty breathing, swelling of your face, lips, tongue, or throat. And you should only take psychobarbital only when you are getting ready for several hours of sleep, because you may fall asleep very quickly after taking the medication. Some people using this medicine have engaged in activities such as driving and later having no memory of the activity. If this happens to you, stop taking psychobarbital and talk with your doctor about another treatment for your sleep disorder. Do not use psychobarbital without telling your doctor if you are pregnant. It could cause harm to the unborn baby. Use an effective form of birth control and tell your doctor if you become pregnant during treatment. Psychobarbital can make birth control pills less effective. Ask your doctor about using a non-hormone method of birth control, such as a condom, diaphragm, spermicide, to prevent pregnancy with taking psychobarbital. And this podcaster just deals with not becoming pregnant by just being rather gay. Anyway, back to the drugs. Psychobarbital may be habit-forming and should be used only by the person it was prescribed for, which would make sense, people. Don't use stuff that's not prescribed for you. Psychobarbital should never be shared with another person, especially someone who has a history of drug abuse or addiction. Keep the medication in a secure place where others cannot get to it. And what should you discuss with your healthcare provider before taking psychobarbital? Some people using this medicine have engaged in activities such as driving and later have no memory, as said before, and shouldn't take this medication if you are allergic to it, obviously, or have porphyria. If you have any of these conditions, you may need a dose adjustment or special test to safely take psychobarbital. And these conditions are severe asthma, chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder, COPD, or other breathing disorder, a blood cell disorder such as anemia, lack of red blood cells, epilepsy, or other seizure disorder, liver disease, heart disease, overactive thyroid, a history of depression, mental illness, or suicide attempt, or a history of drug or alcohol addiction. Psychobarbital may be habit-forming and should be used only by the person it was prescribed for. In other words, obviously, she was trying to kill herself. Makes sense? So, we will go back to the comments. So, other than the psychobarbital, so we know Nate's wife knows about Frank and that she knows that Frank helped frame Nate, which means obviously Nate and his wife still talk extensively, apparently, because she knows a lot of these details that only the students know, and Annalise knows, so, okay. All right, so starting to wonder how much Nia knows. I mean, she knows that they've been cheating, but how much is he talking to this woman? How many details is he sharing? Like, what do they just go about their day telling me up until every single detail of what happened? Because, I mean, it was pretty public, this whole thing with framing Nate and about Sam's murder, but she seems to know a lot of details. And one of the things I had trouble with, and you owe me, she tells Annalise, I mean, owe you death? Or I owe Nate your death? Maybe I would owe him a ton of things after framing him and screwing him and causing him, causing his infidelity, but murdering his wife is not appropriate payment for any of that. So this, you owe me your own Nate to help me commit suicide. Nope. Don't owe you a damn thing for that. I owe you something else for all the drama I put you through, but it does not involve death. I love that Laurel is the only one who can tell that Zoe is a sociopath. I mean, that kid has them dead, crazy eyes. That chick is crazy. She's got them dead eyes, man. That's a sociopath. Everybody open your damn eyes. Kid's crazy. I know I've said this before, but I'm still going to say it probably every single recap. I can't stand Caleb's smartassness. I understand the guy's in a crappy situation, but I still want to smack the shit out of this guy every time he talks. Drives me insane. Catherine drives me insane in a different way, but at least she's more earnest and honest and a little less douchey. So back to the Bonnie Asher plot. Bonnie's going to phone stalk Asher. Now, if she hadn't murdered Rebecca, maybe she'd have quicker access to software that Rebecca used to phone stalk Wes. So geez, Bonnie, way to just off your resources. Jeez, you never know when you're gonna need a crazy, lying, gothic chick to stalk your man for you. Of course, Wes finds out Levi hasn't made good on his side of the deal to stay away from Michaela. I mean, duh. Dude grew up with Rebecca. He's a liar, she's a liar. Meh. We knew that was coming. And Michaela has boobs, so of course, he was gonna go after them boobs. So a twist in our case of the week, the calculator app, because no youth likes to math anymore. So of course, yeah, parents are like, oh, they have a calculator on their iPhone. Oh, well, nope, it's hiding a video about your child and some other children talking about how they murdered this other poor child brutally and maybe might murder a teacher. Yeah, I don't like to math either, and I wouldn't have looked at a calculator app, really. It's an awful video, and we'll get into that a little bit later. That's a very disturbing video. But when they show it to Zoe's parents, yeah, it's shocking that your kid was part of a video about murdering people. So maybe you should try to get your kid some help instead of just saying, bury the video, and that's all you do. I know you're in the middle of the case, but you maybe should talk about getting some options for your child, because she's going to be traumatized, even if you think she didn't murder this person or anything. She's going to be traumatized, so we should get her some help. And Annalise, of course, wants Frank to delete all copies of it, and including copies in the cloud, because the cloud is the worst thing ever invented. And as an IT person, I can agree with that, but I have different reasons as to why the cloud is the worst thing ever invented, because why IT people have to troubleshoot these things. And hey, people, I appreciate your IT people. Unless they're the lazy IT people, then I can understand why you don't like them. But people, when we tell you to reboot your computers, there's a reason. There's a reason. And when somebody says, is it plugged in? And you go, oh, of course it's plugged in. You don't know how many times I've had to run to somebody's desk because their stuff won't turn on. And it turns out it was either not plugged in or not fully plugged in. So don't give me that line. Reboot, make sure your crap is plugged in, because it happens more often than you would think. Anyway, off that rant. So the video gets out anyway. Maybe it's a failure of the cloud. We won't find out just yet. Instead, we'll move to the meeting with Nate and Annalise in the courthouse. The way Annalise clasps hands with Nate, and then he puts his hand in his jacket pocket, something looks like it was obviously exchanged there. On all three of my viewings, it looks like something got exchanged and he put it in his pocket. We don't know what it is, but I feel like they made it obvious that we should pay attention to that. Now, back to the video. If I had to hear Skanks get shanked in that lame-ass young teenage girl voice, I'll shank somebody 53 times. Damn, so annoying. Annalise was on the way of mounting a good and untrue defense, and Zoe blows it because she just had to say her friend was next. Because the chick is a sociopath. Take her to jail. This is a case I don't even want to see Annalise win. Take that crazy old sociopath to jail. She is insane, hateful, and yeah, she deserves jail time. That kid is crazy. Now, turns out Connor is apparently more evil than the cloud because the cloud wasn't the failure. He was. Now, I'm partly annoyed with him, though I see why he did it, because, I mean, he didn't want to see this sociopath go out and kill again, and she already threatened somebody in the stand. Well, that was only after the video was leaked. I understand his side, but, I mean, Annalise didn't hesitate to remind him about the blood in his car, Sam's blood. I mean, but she is protecting all of them. I mean, if they try going to run away, are they going to be able to protect themselves? Are they going to know what to do or say? Is she going to be able to cover them? She would have to send Frank out to stalk them. Is she going to be able to help them? Because they are connected to this murder and eventually might be connected to Rebecca's disappearance. So she's helping them out. And yeah, she gets people who possibly do murder people out of ending up in prison. They know this. So, I understand Connor's side, but he cracks a lot, and of course we saw a couple of weeks ago in the flash forward, he was the one who wouldn't leave Annalise's side as she's bleeding out, and says it's always your fault, so I don't know. Seems like he's losing it, but at the same time he wasn't willing to leave Annalise, or maybe he didn't want to leave her at the same time, tell her, hey, it's your fault you're dying, but it sucks that you're dying. Now, we find out here that Catherine is a virgin, but you know what? I'm just hoping that there's no... Don't you agree? I hope so. Anyway, let's get on to things that are a little less disturbing. Please don't tell me, okay, this is nowhere near less disturbing, actually. Please don't tell me that they dumped Rebecca's body in a graveyard. I mean, that's depressing. My mom actually watched this with me on the third time around, and she thought they actually cremated Rebecca's body. But then she proceeded to get freaked out when I thought, you know what, actually, if they did cremate her body, that'd be the smart thing to do. She thought that was creepy, and I told her, geez, Mom, I watch a lot of shows about murder, okay? I just know these things. I don't actually do them, but that would be smart. I mean, look what happened. They tried to burn Frank and that failed, and then they tried to lop his body parts and throw him in trash cans all over the place, and then they got caught. So, I mean, you want to cremate the bodies, right? So you don't get caught, right? I don't know. Am I crazy? Am I a killer? I don't know. You decide. Anyway, Annalise goes to tell Nate's wife that she won't kill her, but in the flashbacks about getting the pills from Frank, they also show the hand clasp with Nate and Annalise. And where I think she slipped him something and he pocketed it. Maybe she slipped him a few of those pills to make the choice for himself. I don't know, but I mean, they made it a point the first time around when it actually happened, and then in the flashback, they make a point for us to see it again, so something obviously passed there. They can't just be slipping that in for the fun of it. Something happened. Now we get to Bon Bon catching up with Asher and his secret meeting with his dad and the DA. But why does Bonnie say she killed Sam? Is she still trying to protect Annalise, who dogged her out so badly? Like, she's just going to continue to defend Annalise all the way to her own grave, which apparently, according to the recap, if I missed it, that Bonnie might be dead. I don't know. Apparently I need to go rewatch that again, but that's what the recap said. Though I didn't see any dead body or dead Bonnie, or dead body, same difference. But we'll see. Annalise spots Nate and Wes talking. But what's going through her mind with that look on her face? Does she think they suspect her or something? Or does she get that Wes truly isn't over Rebecca and they're possibly plotting that? What is she thinking is going on there? And also, what the hell is Michaela doing meeting Caleb in that apartment? Did something happen to Catherine, therefore causing Caleb to hide out after something went down? Like him killing the DA? And then who is he referring to when he says, how's she doing? Is he talking about Catherine? Because that seems to be the person that he would be the most concerned about. The other person you would think would be maybe Annalise. But it sounds like on the report, sounds like they had one deceased person, one person go to the hospital. So this makes sound like there's only two bodies. What happened? Where's Catherine? Maybe she's sitting somewhere else. I don't know what's going on, but my thought was, with the look on Caleb's face and the way he was pacing when Michaela walked in, something probably happened to Catherine. And I'm thinking that maybe Miss Guthrie, the lady who looks over the house that said that she saw the incest and knew it was happening and knew it was wrong, I'm thinking maybe she made that up and that maybe she was possibly cheating with the husband. I forget his name. I know that the wife's name was Ursula. Who names a kid Ursula? But maybe she was cheating with the husband and she got caught, or maybe something happened where she's involved in the murders and she decided to pin it on the children because it just seemed like you could do that because they weren't natural born brother and sister, so it was a thing to pin it on them. I don't know, but I don't think we should be trusting Miss Guthrie either. I don't know where we're going with this story, but I think it was a really darn good episode. And guys, share your theories. And one thing I really want to ask, if you guys can go ahead to iTunes and search out the podcast, How to Get Away with Law, and go ahead and give a rating, whatever stars you want to give. I love fives. And also leave a comment. This is just helping so the podcast can be seen by others who want to talk about the show and just discuss it or listen to recaps and all of that. Just if you can go ahead and rate it and leave a comment, that'd be wonderful so that it would go up at the polls and more people would get involved and join in. And also, if you guys can give some feedback, whether you email at howtogetawaywithlaw@gmail.com. You can either type out an email or you can even record something on your computer or phone, attach that audio file to an email, send it to howtogetawaywithlaw@gmail.com, or tweet me at getawaywithlaw. Or you can go ahead and find the Facebook group by searching out How to Get Away with Law. And just dialogue with me. Tell all your friends to listen to the podcast. Share the posts that I give. Let people just hear the word. Let's share it about this show because it's a great show. And I love discussing it. And I would love to talk with you guys about it. So get ready for the next episode. And until then, this has been your host, Kim. And we'll be getting away with murder in a couple days. Catch you later.